Marcus Aurelius ruled an empire that was constantly at war. He faced betrayal from allies, plague across the Roman territories, and the unimaginable pain of losing multiple children. Yet each night, he returned to his journal, not to complain, not to seek pity, but to write to himself. He reminded his own soul of what truly mattered, of what was in his control, of how to remain calm, even when the world outside was chaos. In one entry, he wrote, "The loss is nothing more than the return of something to the universe." Now ask yourself, have you ever needed to detach from someone emotionally, but didn't know how? Maybe it's a relationship that once brought joy, but now drains your energy. Maybe it's someone who walked away, but still haunts your thoughts. Maybe it's a person you love deeply, yet being close to them costs you your peace. Emotional detachment, through the lens of Stoicism, is not coldness. It is not cruelty. It is liberation. It is the reclaiming of your inner fortress. In today's episode of Diary Stoic, you will discover 8 Stoic rules, inspired by the writings of Marcus Aurelius, that will teach you how to emotionally detach from someone without losing your heart and without betraying your values. These aren't abstract concepts. These are practical tools used by one of the wisest men to ever walk the earth, applied now to the emotional struggles of modern life. Stay with me until the end, because the 8th rule is the most powerful of all. It holds a reflection that can help you let go not only of the person, but also of the pain. It's the kind of lesson that doesn't just change how you feel, it changes who you are. Throughout this journey, you will learn how to separate what is within your control from what is not. You will come to understand that love without attachment is possible, that presence can exist without possession, that sometimes the most compassionate act is to walk away with clarity, not with resentment. The Stoics did not fear pain. They studied it. They dissected it. They let it teach them, and then they released it. Can you do the same? Can you sit with your emotions without becoming them? Can you love someone and still choose yourself when peace is at stake? This is not going to be comfortable. Some of these ideas will challenge you, but that's exactly why they work. Because comfort never healed a fractured mind, and illusions never brought peace to a broken heart. Now, before we begin with the first rule, I want to invite you to take a single step in reclaiming your power. Go to the comments and write this short Stoic truth. I only control my mind. Write it, say it out loud, let it echo within you. Because as you'll soon discover, everything else is not yours to control. Rule number 8, remember the impermanence of all things. There is a passage in Meditations where Marcus Aurelius writes, "Soon you will have forgotten everything. Soon everything will have forgotten you." At first glance, it may sound depressing, almost nihilistic. But to a Stoic, this is not a statement of despair. It is a powerful tool for emotional freedom. This rule, perhaps the most profound of the 8, is centered on one essential principle: impermanence. Emotional attachment often stems from the illusion that people, relationships, or moments will last forever. That what you feel now is permanent. That who you are with will always be there. And so, when life shows you otherwise, when someone leaves or betrays you or drifts away, you suffer, not just because of the loss, but because of the false belief you held on to so tightly. The Stoics teach that this belief must be examined and dismantled. To emotionally detach from someone, you must begin by contemplating impermanence in a way that is not theoretical, but practical. You must remind yourself daily that everything you love is mortal. Everything you cling to is temporary. Not to harden your heart, but to soften your grip. When you accept the impermanence of all things, your suffering loses its grip on you. You begin to experience life with a deeper presence because you no longer take anything for granted. Imagine walking through a garden. You see a flower, vibrant, alive, perfect in color and form. You admire it not because it will last forever, but precisely because it will not. Its beauty is fleeting, and that is what makes it sacred. You don't try to stop it from dying. You don't tape its petals in place. You simply look, breathe, and appreciate it for what it is in that moment. This is how a Stoic loves, not with chains of possession, but with awareness and reverence. Marcus Aurelius used death as a teacher, not to scare himself into retreat, but to sharpen his sense of what mattered. He would often write reminders like, "You could leave life right now. Let that determine what you do, say, and think." That same reminder applies when you are trying to detach emotionally from someone. Ask yourself, if this person disappeared tomorrow, would I be at peace with how I handled our connection? Would I regret not setting boundaries? Would I regret not letting go when it was time? Detachment does not mean indifference. This is a common misunderstanding. To the Stoic, detachment is about maintaining clarity. It is loving someone deeply while remaining aware that their presence in your life is not guaranteed. You give your love freely, but you don't base your identity on their response. You show up fully, but you don't collapse when they walk away. And this brings us to a crucial insight. People are not ours to keep. They come into our lives for reasons we may never fully understand. Some stay, some go, some teach, some wound, but none of them belong to us. Not really. The Stoics believed that everything we are given, people, possessions, roles, are like items borrowed from nature. And when nature asks for them back, we must return them without resistance, without complaint. Imagine holding a glass of water in your hands. If you squeeze too tightly, it spills. If you're careless, it slips. The right way is neither grasping nor avoidance, it is balance. The same is true with emotional connection. When you grip someone too tightly, you distort the relationship. When you ignore or suppress your feelings, you rob yourself of growth. Stoic detachment is the path of balance. It is the art of holding someone without clinging. This rule becomes especially important in moments of heartbreak or separation. When someone you care about leaves, by choice, by force, or by fate, your mind will try to resist the loss. You will think, "This wasn't supposed to end." You will replay memories, rewrite scenarios, cling to what was. But here is where the Stoic response must be trained. Remind yourself that nothing in nature violates its course. If it ended, it was meant to. If they left, it was time. Not because it didn't matter, but because nothing lasts forever. Marcus Aurelius didn't just write these things as a philosopher, he lived them as a man. He lost his wife, his children, his mentors. He watched his empire crumble and rebuild, and through it all, he practiced the rule of impermanence. He wrote, "Receive without pride, let go without attachment." This sentence alone holds enough wisdom to anchor you in your most turbulent moments. It means, do not place your worth in what you are given, and do not collapse when it is taken away. So, how do you actually apply this in your life? First, start a daily practice of remembering impermanence. This can be as simple as writing one sentence every morning. Everything I love is temporary, therefore I will treat it with awareness and grace. Do this not to induce fear, but to anchor presence. You'll find that you argue less, appreciate more, and release what no longer serves you without as much resistance. Second, when you find yourself obsessing over someone, their actions, their silence, their absence, pause and breathe. Ask, did I truly lose something that belonged to me, or did life simply return what was never mine? This reframing can be painful, but it is necessary. It shifts your focus from injustice to acceptance, from victimhood to wisdom. Third, observe your language. Notice how often we say things like my partner, my ex, my friend. These words can subtly reinforce a sense of ownership. Instead, try to think of people as companions on your journey. They walk beside you for a time. Some stay longer, but none of them are yours. This shift in language reflects a shift in perception, from grasping to gratitude. Finally, meditate on this. Every person you meet is a teacher. Some teach you how to love, others teach you how to let go, and a few will teach you both. The Stoics believed that pain was not only a signal, but a guide. If detaching from someone hurts, good. That pain is evidence of your humanity, but don't let it dominate you. Feel it. Learn from it. Then step forward with dignity. Marcus Aurelius once wrote, "Do not waste what remains of your life in speculating about others." And that is perhaps the truest Stoic warning against emotional entanglement. Your mind is sacred space. Do not fill it with thoughts of someone who no longer walks beside you. Detachment, in the Stoic sense, is not erasing someone from your memory. It's choosing not to let their shadow darken your present. And so, we return to the rule itself. Remember the impermanence of all things, not as a cold fact, but as a liberating truth. When you remember that nothing lasts, not pleasure, not pain, not even the deepest love, you stop trying to control the uncontrollable. You breathe deeper. You speak more kindly. You love more purely. And when it's time to say goodbye, you do so without bitterness. Because you understand what Marcus Aurelius understood, that life is not about holding on, it's about holding wisely. Rule number 7, shift the focus from them to your own character. One of the most powerful truths Marcus Aurelius ever wrote was this: waste no more time arguing what a good man should be. Be one. Didi, in those few words, lies an entire philosophy, a redirection of energy, a recentering of the soul. When you are trying to emotionally detach from someone, especially after pain, betrayal, or loss, your mind naturally turns outward. You replay their actions, you analyze their words, you obsess over what they did, what they didn't do, what they should have done. This is human, but it is not Stoic. The 7th rule is this: shift the focus from them to your own character. This is not simply about distraction or avoidance. It is a deep transformation of attention. It is the act of removing your gaze from a mirror that only reflects their face and turning it inward toward your own conduct, your own values, your own growth. The Stoics believed that true freedom begins not when you control others, which you never can, but when you master yourself. Think about it. How many hours, days, or even years have you spent analyzing someone who hurt you? How often have you replayed arguments, reread messages, stalked social media, or clung to every word they said, hoping to extract meaning or closure? The Stoics would see this not as healing, but as a subtle form of slavery, because every moment you focus on them, you abandon yourself. Epictetus put it even more clearly. If someone succeeds in provoking you, realize that your mind is complicit in the provocation. This is a radical responsibility, one that demands courage. It means that even when someone lies to you, cheats you, or leaves you, your response is still within your power. Your suffering is not caused by their actions, but by your interpretation, your expectations, your unwillingness to release. So how do you begin this shift? First, make a daily habit of self-inquiry. Instead of asking, "Why did they do this to me?" ask, "What kind of person do I want to be in the face of this?" This reframing pulls you out of victimhood and into sovereignty. It doesn't mean you excuse their behavior. It means you stop allowing their behavior to define your own. Let's say someone left you without explanation. You could spend months trying to decode their silence, trying to make sense of the void. But the Stoic path would ask instead, "How can I practice patience in uncertainty? How can I speak with dignity even when I am wounded? How can I become more rooted, more noble, more disciplined, precisely because I was hurt?" This is not weakness, it is power. Second, cultivate your virtues. The Stoics believed that the only true good is virtue, not pleasure, not approval, not even justice from others. Your peace does not depend on their apology. Your integrity does not require their recognition. Your healing does not wait for their return. Instead of waiting for someone to make things right, you become the person who acts rightly in every situation. Imagine yourself as a sculptor, but instead of clay, you are shaping your soul. Every disappointment, every betrayal, every heartbreak, these are your tools. You do not throw them away, you use them. You ask, "How can I use this to refine my patience, my courage, my wisdom?" The person who hurt you may never change, but you can become something unshakable. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this and you will find strength." That includes how you think about the one you're trying to detach from. Their behavior is an external event. It is not yours. What is yours is your judgment, your emotion, your focus. If you give those away to someone else, you lose your center. But if you protect your mind like a sacred temple, you begin to detach not from love, but from neediness, from obsession, from resentment. And here's something even more profound. Detachment is not the absence of feeling. It is the alignment of feeling with reason. You may still care about them. You may still love them. But your love is now rooted in clarity. You no longer seek validation. You no longer demand reciprocity. You love because that is your nature. And if that love must now be expressed through silence or distance, so be it. You remain whole. Here's a practice the Stoics used. Every time you find yourself thinking about what someone did to you, stop and ask, "What would the best version of me do right now? Would they obsess? Would they complain? Would they try to manipulate?" No. They would breathe. They would act with dignity. They would write in their journal, go for a walk, serve others, cultivate strength. They would become the kind of person whose peace no longer depends on others. You can do this, not all at once, but step by step. Each time you shift the focus from them to your own soul, you reclaim territory. You take back space that was once filled with noise and fill it with purpose. This rule also protects you from self-deception. It's easy to get lost in blame, to see yourself as the victim of others' cruelty. But when you shift focus to your own character, you begin to see your part. Maybe you ignored red flags. Maybe you gave too much. Maybe you stayed too long. This is not self-punishment, it is self-honesty. And from that honesty, real growth is born. So when your mind drifts back to them, bring it home. Say to yourself, they have their path, I have mine. Let me walk mine with courage. Focus on your breath, on your posture, on the tone of your voice, on the quality of your work, on the kindness in your actions. This is where your power lives, not in changing others, but in embodying your highest self despite others. There's a quote often attributed to Viktor Frankl, who was deeply influenced by Stoic thought. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. When someone hurts you, that space is sacred. In it, you decide, will I react from pain or respond from virtue? Will I become smaller or rise? In closing, let me offer this. The most stoic act of detachment is not to turn your back in anger, but to turn inward in discipline. To let someone go, not because you stopped caring, but because you started caring more about the kind of person you are becoming. This is the stoic way. Not a life without feeling, but a life where feeling is no longer your master. Shift the focus. Walk your path. And trust that by building your character, you are healing far more than a broken heart. You are becoming someone who cannot be shaken by the storms of others, because your roots now grow deep within. Rule number 6. Train your perception to see clearly. In Book 2 of Meditations, Marcus Aurelius opens with a mental exercise. He prepares himself for the day by acknowledging the inevitability of encountering rude, selfish, or deceitful people. But rather than dreading this, he sees it as an opportunity, a training ground for virtue. Why? Because how we see the world, and more precisely, how we interpret what happens to us, determines our peace or our torment. That's the essence of rule number 6. Train your perception to see clearly. When we are entangled emotionally with someone, our perception becomes foggy. We confuse affection with attachment. We mistake pain for love. We elevate the other person's actions to the level of personal attacks or divine validation. But the Stoics urge us to take a step back. They teach that the situation itself is never the problem. It is our judgment about it. As Epictetus said, it's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters. So, if you want to emotionally detach from someone, you must begin with this fundamental shift. Don't change the person. Change your perception of the person. That shift alone can alter your inner world entirely. You may realize that what you thought was love was, in fact, dependency. That what you believed was betrayal was simply human imperfection. That what you labeled as rejection was redirection. The truth is, most of our suffering comes not from reality, but from the stories we tell ourselves about reality. Let's illustrate this with a simple metaphor. Imagine your mind is like a glass of clear water. Each thought, judgment, or emotion you place in it can cloud or clarify that water. When you're obsessing over someone, when you replay their words, when you idealize or demonize them, you're adding ink to that glass. Soon you can't see clearly. Not them, not yourself, not the truth. The Stoic path is to let the ink settle, to return to clarity. One of the most important ways to train perception is to remove exaggeration. Let's say someone you loved left you. The untrained mind says, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. But is it? Marcus Aurelius would challenge you to ask, is this really so terrible? Or is it just unfamiliar, painful, unexpected? Strip away the drama. Remove the story. See the event as it is, a change, a transition, not a punishment. This isn't emotional repression, it's emotional refinement. You still feel, but you feel with awareness. You observe your pain, but you don't inflate it. You grieve, but you don't make grief your identity. That's what Stoic perception offers you, not the absence of suffering, but the refusal to suffer unnecessarily. Another aspect of trained perception is understanding the nature of others. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "When you wake up in the morning, tell yourself, the people I deal with today will be meddling, ungrateful, arrogant, dishonest, jealous, and surly." Why does he say this? Because if you expect perfection from others, you will constantly be disappointed, and your emotional life will be dictated by their behavior. But if you expect imperfection, you respond with calm rather than shock. When someone hurts you, betrays you, or pulls away from you emotionally, it is tempting to make that the center of your mental universe. But the Stoic practice would be to remind yourself, this is human nature. I am not exempt from disappointment, but I am not obligated to suffer endlessly because of it. Let's take a common scenario. You've been ghosted. No explanation, no closure. The untrained mind spirals. Was it something I said? Am I not enough? How could they do this to me? The trained Stoic mind says, they acted according to their nature. I do not control that. What I do control is how I interpret this. I can choose to see this not as an insult, but as clarity, not as cruelty, but as a redirection away from someone unwilling to communicate. In that single shift of perception, you go from powerless to powerful. There's a beautiful line from Epictetus. Try not to react merely in the moment. Pull back from the situation. Take a wider view. Compose yourself. This is what perception training looks like in practice. When the emotion rises, you pause. You breathe. You ask, what is the actual fact here? What am I adding to it with my interpretation? Most often, you'll find that your pain comes from that second part, your interpretation. Perception also includes how you see yourself. Detaching from someone can trigger feelings of unworthiness. Your ego takes a blow. You think, if they don't want me, maybe I'm not lovable. But that's a distortion. Your worth is not tied to their preference. Their departure does not mean your value has decreased. A Stoic sees the self not through the eyes of others, but through the lens of virtue. You are not defined by who stays or who leaves. You are defined by how you respond. To train your perception is to reclaim your narrative. To stop outsourcing your emotional reality to someone else's behavior. To see things not as you fear them to be, but as they are. This is a daily practice. It does not happen once. It happens every time your mind starts to wander into obsession, rumination, or fantasy. You catch it. You correct it. You come back to clarity. Try this. When you find yourself spinning in thought about someone, write it down. Describe what happened. Just the facts. Then write a second paragraph describing your interpretation. Ask, what part of this is objective and what part is my own story? This exercise alone can begin to untangle years of emotional confusion. Another way to sharpen perception is through memento mori, the Stoic practice of remembering death, not to be morbid, but to bring perspective. Ask yourself, if I had only 1 month left to live, would I spend it dwelling on this person? Would I waste it rehashing this story? Or would I focus on building my character, serving others, and living with intention? This question alone often breaks the spell of emotional entanglement. In the end, perception is the gatekeeper of your peace. You cannot always stop someone from hurting you, but you can stop yourself from feeding the wound. You cannot force someone to love you, but you can choose not to make their love the condition of your joy. You cannot rewrite the past, but you can rewrite the meaning you assign to it. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "If you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it, and this you have the power to revoke at any moment." That is the power of trained perception. It does not change the world, it changes your experience of the world. And in doing so, it gives you back your serenity. So remember this sixth rule as a lifelong discipline. Train your perception to see clearly, strip away the illusion, question your thoughts, choose objectivity over obsession, and in time, you will look back and realize that the person you once could not let go of was never holding you. You were holding a story, and now you are free. Rule number five, master the art of voluntary discomfort. In a world obsessed with comfort, detachment seems unnatural. We are taught to pursue pleasure, avoid pain, and cling to anything that gives us a sense of warmth or familiarity. Even when that thing is a person who no longer belongs in our lives, this is why letting go feels so difficult, because it confronts our deepest programming. But the Stoics had an answer for this. They believed in a principle that cuts through attachment like a blade through illusion, voluntary discomfort. Rule number five is not soft. It is not gentle. It is not about feeling better in the short term. It is about forging strength. The kind of strength that doesn't crumble when someone walks away, that doesn't beg for what it doesn't need, and that doesn't fear loneliness. This rule teaches you to embrace discomfort as a teacher, not as an enemy. And in that discomfort, to find the peace that clinging never brings. Let's begin with a simple truth. Emotional attachment often hides a fear of discomfort. When we say we love someone but cannot let them go, even when the relationship has become toxic, hollow, or unbalanced, we are not clinging to love. We are clinging to the comfort that love once represented. The Stoic path is to challenge that comfort, to strip it down, and to ask, "Do I need this, or have I simply become afraid of who I am without it?" Seneca, in his letters, advises practicing poverty, sleeping on the floor, wearing simple clothing, and eating coarse food. Not because these things are noble in themselves, but because they free us from dependence. He writes, "Set aside a certain number of days during which you shall be content with the scantiest and cheapest fare, with coarse and rough dress, saying to yourself the while, 'Is this the condition I feared?'" This is not about self-punishment. It is about removing fear from the equation. If you are not afraid of discomfort, no one can control you. Apply this to emotional detachment. The fear you feel about losing someone is often not about them. It's about the discomfort you anticipate in their absence, the silence, the emptiness, the nights without texts, the days without validation. But what if you trained for that? What if, like the Stoics, you practiced it not by force but by choice? Start small. Choose to spend an entire day without checking your phone for messages. Not because no one is writing to you, but because you want to reclaim your attention. Sleep without distractions. Eat alone without music or screens. Go on a walk without headphones. Each of these practices will bring you face to face with a truth. You are not empty. You are simply untrained in solitude. Marcus Aurelius found strength in moments of inner withdrawal. He would retreat into himself, not to escape the world, but to reconnect with the source of his clarity. He wrote, "Nowhere can man find a quieter or more untroubled retreat than in his own soul." Udum. This retreat requires discomfort. It means facing your thoughts without numbing them. It means sitting with grief without masking it. But once you enter that space, you discover something astonishing. You are enough. Voluntary discomfort is not only about physical simplicity, it is also emotional and psychological. It means choosing to endure the sting of letting go rather than delaying it with fantasy. It means deleting their number even though it hurts. It means not replying to that last message, not out of cruelty, but out of self-respect. It means closing the door, not because you hate them, but because you love your peace more. Many people think that Stoicism makes you emotionless. That is a shallow reading. The Stoics felt deeply. Marcus Aurelius wept. Seneca mourned. Epictetus suffered. But none of them let suffering define them. They used it. They turned discomfort into discipline and pain into practice. Ask yourself, what am I avoiding by staying attached to this person? Is it the fear of being alone? The discomfort of starting over? The silence that follows goodbye? Then confront that exact discomfort. Don't wait for it to ambush you. Walk into it. Make it your training ground. There is a deeper kind of confidence that grows only in discomfort. It is the kind that says, "I have felt hunger, and it did not destroy me. I have felt grief, and I remained whole. I have let go, and I am still standing." This confidence cannot be faked. It is earned through practice, through sweat, through nights spent with only your own breath as company. Another tool the Stoics used was premeditatio malorum, the premeditation of evils. They would imagine the worst that could happen, not to paralyze themselves with fear, but to desensitize their nervous system. They would say, "Today I may lose a friend, be insulted, or fall ill. Let me meet it with reason." Mun, when you apply this to detachment, it sounds like this. This person may leave. They may forget me. They may never return. And if that happens, I will grieve. But I will not collapse. Every time you choose discomfort willingly, you reduce the power of fear. And fear is the root of unhealthy attachment. If you are not afraid to be alone, you will never stay where you don't belong. If you are not afraid of silence, you will not chase noise. If you are not afraid of starting over, you will never beg for something to continue just because it's familiar. Practice fasting. Practice solitude. Practice silence. Not because these things are magical, but because they teach you that your peace is not dependent on anyone else. They reconnect you with your own resilience. They turn you into someone who is no longer afraid of letting go because you have made discomfort your ally. And what happens when discomfort becomes familiar? You grow. You find a new layer of strength. You become unshakable. The person you once thought you couldn't live without becomes a memory, not a wound. You look back not with bitterness, but with calm. You say, "That chapter ended. I endured, and I am stronger now." So let this rule guide your path. Master the art of voluntary discomfort. Choose stillness when you crave noise. Choose distance when you crave closeness. Choose simplicity when you crave excess. And through these choices, you will build the kind of soul that no longer fears separation because it has found its center within. Rule number 4. Understand the difference between love and attachment. There is perhaps no greater confusion in the human heart than the one between love and attachment. People often believe they are loving deeply when, in truth, they are simply attaching desperately. The pain that follows loss, rejection, or distance is often not the pain of love. It is the pain of detachment from a dependency. That is why rule number 4 is one of the most essential principles for Stoic detachment. Understand the difference between love and attachment. Let us begin by asking a hard question. What is it that truly hurts when someone pulls away from you? Is it your affection being severed? Or is it the image you held of the relationship? The expectations you created? The role that person played in your internal narrative? In most cases, we grieve not just the loss of a person, but the collapse of a story we had written in our minds. A story of forever, of certainty, of control. The Stoics were not opposed to love. Marcus Aurelius loved his wife deeply. Seneca wrote with passion and warmth. Epictetus, though a slave and a teacher, spoke often of the dignity of shared humanity. But none of them taught love as dependency. Stoic love is a free gift, never a possession. It is not defined by permanence, nor does it demand reciprocation. It flows from virtue, from the desire to treat others justly, kindly, and wisely, not because they belong to us, but because we recognize the divine nature within them. To detach emotionally, you must begin by untangling love from attachment. Love in its pure form is generous. It says, "I wish you well, whether or not you stay." Attachment is possessive. It says, "I cannot be okay unless you are here." Love is about giving, attention, presence, honesty. Attachment is about getting security, validation, status. One flows from abundance, the other from fear. This difference matters profoundly when someone walks away. If you love them truly, you can grieve with dignity. You can bless them on their journey. But if you were attached, you will fight reality. You will beg, cling, stalk, obsess. You will collapse into a version of yourself that is small and reactive. The Stoics teach us to rise above this, not by closing the heart, but by opening it to a higher understanding. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Accept the things to which fate binds you, and love the people with whom fate brings you together, but do so with all your heart." That last part is often misunderstood. To love with all your heart does not mean to dissolve into someone. It means to show up fully, to care without condition, to serve without demand, and when the time comes, to release them without bitterness. Ask yourself, if I truly love this person, why am I suffering so much in their absence? The Stoic would answer, because you mistook attachment for love. You thought their presence made you whole. But no one can complete you. Wholeness is not found in another person. It is found in your alignment with virtue, in your capacity to govern your emotions, in your ability to see clearly and act justly. Another way to distinguish between love and attachment is to examine your behavior. Love does not beg. It does not manipulate. It does not keep score. It does not lose itself in anxiety. If your mind is spinning with thoughts like, "What did I do wrong? Why don't they care?" Or, "How can I make them stay?" You are not in love. You are in fear. And fear, to the Stoics, is a sign that reason has been eclipsed. Seneca said, "A wise man is content with himself." That does not mean he is isolated. It means that his sense of self is not dependent on the emotions, actions, or choices of others. When you love from that place, from contentment, not craving, your relationships become freer. You no longer seek to possess. You no longer panic at the thought of losing. You simply show up in love and allow the universe to move as it will. Let us make this practical. Imagine you are going through a breakup. The person you loved has ended the relationship. You feel devastated. The untrained mind says, "I lost my other half." But the stoic mind says, "Nothing that is truly mine can be taken from me. What I had was not ownership, it was presence. And now, presence has moved elsewhere. Let me honor what was and walk forward with grace." This does not mean you don't feel pain. Of course you do. The Stoics were not robots, but they refused to be ruled by pain. They saw it as a message, not a master. They asked, "What is this emotion teaching me about my beliefs? If it teaches that you had made someone else your source of peace, then the pain is a gift. It reveals where your inner work must begin. There's another layer to this rule. Loving without attachment also means letting others be who they are. Many emotional entanglements happen not because of who the other person is, but because of who we want them to be. We fall in love with a projection. We stay for the potential. We suffer not because of what is, but because of what we hoped would be. The Stoic way is to love what is, not what might be." This is what Marcus Aurelius meant when he said, "If someone can show me that what I think or do is not right, I will happily change. For I seek the truth by which no one was ever truly harmed." Apply this to relationships. If the truth is that the relationship has ended, then clinging to illusion will only harm you. But if you seek clarity, if you align with what is, you find peace, even in the ending. So how do you begin to shift from attachment to love? Start by practicing amor fati, the love of fate. Whatever has happened in your relationship, choose to love the outcome. Not because it was ideal, but because it is real. Say to yourself, "This was the path chosen by life. I accept it. I honor the love we shared. And I free both of us from the chains of expectation." Next, replace need with intention. Do not say, "I need this person to be happy." Say instead, "I intend to act with love and clarity, whether or not they stay." This change in language rewires your identity. You go from being a beggar of affection to a builder of character. Finally, meditate on this. Love is a state of being, not a transaction. You can love someone and still let them go. You can honor the connection and still move on. You can grieve the ending and still be grateful for the chapter. None of this is contradiction. It is maturity. It is stoicism. In the end, this rule is about freedom. Love, when pure, frees both the lover and the beloved. Attachment cages them. And very often, the key to the cage is found not in letting go of the other, but in letting go of your false beliefs about love. So remember this, understand the difference between love and attachment. One gives, the other clings. One expands, the other contracts. One elevates, the other enslaves. And if you can make that distinction, your heart will remain open, but your soul will stay unbound. Rule number 3. Control your inner dialogue or it will control you. There is a storm more dangerous than betrayal, heartbreak, or abandonment. It is the storm that brews in your own mind after someone leaves. The words you whisper to yourself, the interpretations you assign to their silence, the labels you stick onto your worth, all of it becomes your reality. That is why rule number 3 is both a warning and a remedy. Control your inner dialogue, or it will control you. Marcus Aurelius, in the solitude of his reflections, wrote, "The things you think about determine the quality of your mind. Your soul takes on the color of your thoughts. If that is true, and the Stoics believed it absolutely was, then every unchecked thought, every mental replay of the past, every imagined rejection becomes a brushstroke painting the world you now live in. When someone you care about pulls away, the first voice you hear is not theirs. It is your own, and it can be cruel. I wasn't enough. They never cared. Something is wrong with me. These thoughts don't come from truth. They come from fear, from emotional conditioning, from a desperate attempt to explain why pain has entered your life. But the Stoic path teaches you this. The mind, like a city, must be governed, or it will fall into chaos. To emotionally detach, you must begin with your internal script. You must interrogate the voice in your head as if it were a stranger knocking at your door. You must ask, is this true? Is this helpful? Is this in my control? Seneca said it best. We suffer more in imagination than in reality. And indeed we do. The person may have left. That is the reality. But you suffer because of the narrative you've attached to their leaving. Let's break this down. Say someone stops replying to your messages. Hours turn into days. You begin to panic. Your mind races. You create stories. They must have found someone else. I'm being punished. I always get abandoned. None of these are facts. They are thoughts, and thoughts, unless questioned, become beliefs. Beliefs harden into identity, and identity shapes your behavior. Suddenly, you are not just someone going through separation. You are someone who sees themselves as unworthy, unloved, invisible. That is how the mind turns pain into self-destruction. But the Stoic refuses to accept every thought as truth. He stands at the gate of his mind like a sentinel. He observes, he challenges, he replaces. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "If it is not right, do not do it. If it is not true, do not say it. If it is not yours to control, do not dwell on it." This applies not only to actions and speech, but to thought itself. Begin by practicing cognitive minimalism. This means reducing mental noise. When a painful thought arises, "They left me because I wasn't enough," pause, ask, "Can I prove this? What else might be true?" Replace it with something neutral. "They made a choice. Their choice is about them. I remain responsible for how I think about it." The goal is not to lie to yourself. The goal is to remove the poison, because unchecked inner dialogue will poison even the most peaceful soul. Another tool is the use of Stoic journaling. Each night, write down the thoughts that dominated your mind. Identify the ones that came from fear, ego, or assumption. Then rewrite them as if Marcus Aurelius were editing your script. Turn "I was never good enough" into "I acted with integrity." Their rejection is not a reflection of my worth, but of their perception. Over time, this practice reshapes the pathways of your mind. You move from reaction to reflection, from suffering to sovereignty. The Stoics also use detachment from labels. When the mind starts defining you, "I'm unlovable, I'm always abandoned, I'm too much," you must respond like Epictetus, "Who told you this, and why should you believe it?" These identities are not given. They are chosen, and they can be unchosen. Another key aspect of controlling inner dialogue is reframing. This is not denial. It is redirection. You do not say, "This didn't hurt." You say, "This pain is a signal. It tells me where I need to grow. It shows me what I was still depending on for my peace." Reframing takes the power away from the event and returns it to you. It doesn't change the past, it changes your relationship to it. Take silence, for example. Someone you love goes silent. Instead of thinking, they don't care, you could think, this silence is teaching me how much noise I was using to avoid myself. Now I have space to hear my own voice. That may not make the pain disappear, but it transforms it. And transformation is the goal, not escape. Marcus Aurelius reminds us, the soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts. If you constantly think in shades of abandonment, betrayal, and bitterness, your soul becomes heavy. But if you practice thoughts of strength, responsibility, and clarity, your soul becomes light. Not because the world has changed, but because your interpretation has. One of the most important things you can do during detachment is speak to yourself with precision. Avoid exaggerations. Do not say, I always get hurt. Say instead, I'm hurting now. Do not say, no one ever stays. Say instead, this person chose to leave. Why? Because exaggeration is the language of despair. Precision is the language of stoicism. The former chains you to your story. The latter frees you to face reality. In moments of weakness, ask yourself this: what would a wise man say to me right now? Then say it to yourself. Speak like Marcus, respond like Epictetus. Console yourself as Seneca would, with logic, not pity, with self-respect, not self-pity. Let us return to the rule. Control your inner dialogue, or it will control you. This rule is not about perfection. Thoughts will still come. Old patterns will still whisper. But you are no longer their slave. You are the governor of your mind. You choose which thoughts grow roots. You decide which ones get fed. You determine which voice becomes your truth. You will not always win. Some days, the storm in your head will rage. That is okay. The Stoic does not seek to eliminate the storm, only to learn how to walk through it without being swept away. Remember, the most dangerous person in your life may not be the one who left. It may be the voice you inherited that keeps telling you that you are not enough without them. Silence that voice. Replace it with reason. Speak to yourself as you would speak to someone you love, with dignity, with honesty, and with hope. Because at the end of the day, detachment is not about forgetting someone. It is about remembering who you are when your mind is your own again. Rule number 2, accept what you cannot control. There is one truth that lies at the heart of every Stoic practice. One principle, without which all other lessons collapse. It is the boundary between what is yours and what is not. Epictetus called it the dichotomy of control, and it is the foundation of emotional freedom. Rule number 2 is therefore this: accept what you cannot control. The pain of emotional attachment is not caused by love itself, but by resistance. When someone drifts away, when a relationship ends, when expectations go unmet, the suffering that follows is often not about what happened, but about your refusal to accept it. You resist the ending. You resist the silence. You resist the reality that someone else's actions are no longer in your hands. The Stoics teach that freedom begins the moment you draw a clear line. This is within my control. This is not. What someone feels, says, chooses, or becomes, that is not yours. Your judgments, reactions, principles, and actions, those are. Until you make this distinction, you will be a prisoner of hope, clinging to illusions of control, enslaved by the need to change what was never yours to begin with. Imagine a sailor at sea. He cannot control the wind, the waves, or the storms. But he can control his sails, his preparation, and his attitude. To wish for calm seas while refusing to adjust your sails is foolishness. And yet, this is exactly what we do in relationships. We wish for someone to act differently, love us better, return to us, but we don't adjust our mindset. We fight the wind instead of learning how to steer through it. Let's bring this into real life. Suppose someone you loved has left you. They said goodbye, or perhaps they said nothing at all. Your mind replays the moment. You want to fix it. You write texts you don't send. You analyze conversations. You imagine different outcomes. What you're really doing is refusing to accept that their will is not yours, that their choice was theirs to make, and that you do not have the power to undo it. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." This is not just a quote for motivation. It is a shield against obsession. When you begin to accept that other people are not yours to control, you stop chasing, you stop bargaining with fate, you stop resisting what life has already decided. But make no mistake, acceptance is not passivity. It is not giving up. It is not weakness. Acceptance is clarity. It is saying, "This is how things are. I do not need to like it, but I will no longer waste my energy wishing it were otherwise." Acceptance frees you to act with purpose instead of reacting with desperation. There's another layer to this rule that is often overlooked. You must also accept your emotions without letting them rule you. You may feel grief, anger, betrayal. These are natural, but do not judge them. Do not fight them. Accept them as you would accept a storm. Let them pass through. Observe them. Learn from them. But do not let them steer your ship. Seneca wrote, "A wise man is content with his lot, whatever it may be, without wishing for what he is not." This is not a call to suppress desire. It is a call to detach from outcomes. Wanting someone to stay, hoping for reconciliation, these are human. But tying your peace to those hopes, that is dangerous. Because if your peace depends on someone else's decision, you have already lost control of your life. To accept what you cannot control also means to accept the imperfections of others. People are inconsistent. They change their minds. They make promises they don't keep. They carry wounds that bleed onto you. Expecting them to always act with clarity, maturity, or honesty will only set you up for pain. The Stoics teach, "It is not things that disturb us, but our opinions about them." Adjust your expectations, and much of your suffering disappears. There is a practical exercise you can begin using right now. Every time you catch yourself fixating on someone else's behavior, pause and ask, "Is this within my control?" If the answer is no, take a breath. Release it. Redirect your attention. Write, train, clean, reflect. Do anything but but do not feed the fire of powerlessness with more fuel. And remember, just because you accept something does not mean you approve of it. Acceptance is not saying, "This is good." It is saying, "This is real." And once you anchor yourself in reality, you can move forward with strength instead of delusion. This rule is especially hard in situations of betrayal or abandonment. Your ego screams, "They shouldn't have done this. This isn't fair. I deserve an explanation." Maybe you do. But fairness is not always delivered. Explanations don't always come. The Stoics didn't waste time demanding what life didn't offer. They asked instead, "What is in my hands? What can I do now?" In that shift from external control to internal focus, your suffering begins to dissolve. You stop fighting shadows. You stop waiting for closure from the person who hurt you. You become your own closure. You become your own reason to let go. Marcus Aurelius said, "Receive without pride, let go without attachment. Let go, not because you no longer care, but because holding on has become a form of self-harm. Let go, not because they were insignificant, but because clinging to what is gone keeps you from what is becoming. When you accept what you cannot control, something beautiful happens. Your energy returns. You have more space in your mind, more clarity in your emotions, more dignity in your actions. You are no longer pulled in a thousand directions by someone else's absence. You are grounded. You are here. You are whole. So let this rule guide your detachment. Accept what you cannot control. Not with resignation, but with wisdom. Not because you are weak, but because you are finally strong enough to face reality as it is and to rise within it. Rule number one, return to the present moment. It is the only place you have power. There is a temptation that haunts every mind that has been hurt. To time travel. We go back to the past, trying to rewrite it. We go forward into the future, trying to predict it. In both directions, we suffer. We revisit conversations, reimagine endings, rehearse what we should have said. We fantasize about their return or fear their final disappearance. And in all this mental movement, we miss the one place where strength is born, the present moment. That is why rule number one is simple but absolute. Return to the present moment. It is the only place you have power. This is not just a psychological insight. It is a stoic command. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Confine yourself to the present." Not because the past is unimportant and not because the future doesn't matter, but because neither is within your grasp. The past is written. The future is unknown. The present is the only space where your judgment, your action, your clarity, and your peace are possible. When you are attached to someone, your mind becomes a machine of rumination and projection. You replay their smile. You wonder if they miss you. You imagine what they're doing, who they're with, how they feel. Each thought pulls you further away from your center. Each thought feeds a hunger that only grows stronger. The Stoics would ask, "Where are you right now?" Because the answer is almost always, "Anywhere but here." Let us be clear. Pain exists in the present, but suffering, the repetitive, self-inflicted wound, is what happens when you refuse to stay here. Pain says they are gone. Suffering says they shouldn't have left. They'll regret it. I'll never love again. Pain is sharp but honest. Suffering is noisy, endless, and built on fiction. The present moment asks only for one thing, attention. And in giving that attention, you begin to break the spell of obsession. Epictetus was blunt about this. There is only one path to happiness, and that is in giving up all outside of your sphere of choice. And what is within your sphere of choice? Not their opinion, not their return, not their love, but your attention, your attitude, your alignment with what is real. When you return to the present, you take back your power. You stop waiting for closure. You stop replaying memories. You begin to feel your breath. You begin to notice your thoughts, not as absolute truths, but as visitors. You begin to make space. And in that space, healing occurs, not from forgetting, but from re-centering. Let's make this practical. You're feeling overwhelmed. You're thinking about them again. You feel pulled into the past, into a moment, a word, a goodbye. Stop, sit still, breathe, ask, "Where am I right now?" Look around. Feel the ground beneath you. Hear the sounds around you. This moment, this one, is your life. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. This is where your strength lives. It is always now. The present moment is also where you begin to rebuild. The Stoics didn't wait for ideal conditions. They didn't postpone growth until their circumstances changed. They practiced strength in the moment they were given. Marcus Aurelius governed an empire during war and plague, and still returned to his journal each night to anchor himself. He didn't write about what should be. He wrote about what is, and what he must do. In your case, that might mean doing the dishes even when your heart is heavy, taking a walk when your mind wants to spiral, writing your thoughts instead of texting them to someone who is no longer listening. These small actions, grounded in the now, are acts of resistance against the pull of attachment. Detachment begins not with a dramatic act, but with a return. A return to your breath, to your body, to your values. The Stoics would not ask you to stop loving, but they would ask you to stop abandoning yourself in the name of someone who is no longer present. Come back. Not because the pain has disappeared, but because it no longer owns you. There's a quote attributed to a later Stoic influence, Lao Tzu. If you are depressed, you are living in the past. If you are anxious, you are living in the future. If you are at peace, you are living in the present. The Stoics would nod in agreement, not because peace is always calm, but because presence gives you clarity. And clarity is the beginning of peace. Try this exercise. Whenever your thoughts drift, say silently to yourself, I am here. Say it again, I am here. Then act from that place, not from fantasy, not from fear, but from presence. Write, move, work, speak, not to escape your feelings, but to carry them with dignity. It's also in the present where you recognize impermanence, not as a concept, but as a truth you can feel. Look at your hand. That skin is aging. That breath is passing. That moment you're in. It will never return. This relationship you're grieving, it too was part of time's movement. It arose, it peaked, it passed. All of it belongs to nature. Your job is not to freeze it. Your job is to meet it fully and then to release it when it's time. Returning to the present also protects you from self-betrayal. When you live in the past, you idealize. You remember only the good. You forget the silence, the confusion, the pain. You create an illusion and then suffer because it doesn't exist anymore. But when you live here, in this breath, this step, this hour, you begin to see clearly, not cruelly, not cynically, just clearly. And in that clarity, detachment is no longer a war. It becomes a quiet act of discipline, a choice you make every day, a whisper to yourself, they are gone, but I am still here, and that is enough. So let rule number one be your anchor. Return to the present moment. It is the only place you have power. Not the imagined reunion, not the memory of how it used to feel. But now, this heartbeat, this silence, this decision to show up, not for them, but for yourself. Because here, in this moment, you are no longer waiting. You are no longer wishing. You are walking, and that is freedom. You have made it through the 8 Stoic rules for emotional detachment, and that already sets you apart, not because you have mastered them, but because you were willing to sit with uncomfortable truths. You were willing to look inward, and that willingness in a world addicted to escape is rare. It is sacred. You began this journey seeking to let go of a person, of a memory, of a connection that once meant everything and now weighs you down. Along the way, you discovered something even deeper. That detachment is not about loss, but about returning to what was always yours, your mind, your character, your power. Marcus Aurelius ruled the greatest empire in the world, yet he wrote not for glory, but for humility, not to command others, but to command himself. He knew, as you now know, that the real battle is always internal, that emotional freedom is not given by others. It is built, layer by layer, rule by rule. You learn to remember impermanence, to see that all things, even love, are fleeting. That what you do not own, you must be willing to release, not with bitterness, but with honor. You stood before the truth and chose to bow, not in defeat, but in acceptance. You shifted the focus back to your character. You stopped asking why they did what they did and started asking who you want to become because of it. You learned to build instead of beg, to act from principle, not reaction. That is strength. Not loud, not proud, but deeply rooted. You trained your perception. You cleared the fog. You began to see things not as you feared them to be, but as they are. You stopped exaggerating. You removed the poison of assumption. You stepped out of your story and into reality, and in doing so, reclaimed your mind. You embraced discomfort. You practiced silence, solitude, stillness. You stopped resisting pain and began to walk through it. You saw that suffering is a teacher, not a punishment. That letting go is not the end of love, but the beginning of discipline. You made the hardest distinction of all, between love and attachment. You realize that love doesn't cling, it honors. That to love someone truly is to give them freedom, and to love yourself enough to walk away when your peace is on the line. You stopped confusing dependency with devotion. You controlled your inner dialogue. You stopped believing every thought. You replaced panic with presence, blame with boundaries, and shame with reason. You spoke to yourself as a guardian, not a judge, and you began to rebuild the most important relationship of all, the one with your own mind. You accepted what you cannot control, and in doing so, you touched the core of Stoicism. You let go of their choices, their silence, their actions, their change. You saw that freedom is not found in changing others, but in releasing the need to. And finally, you returned to the present moment. You stopped living in the ruins of the past. You stopped fantasizing about a future that may never arrive. You came home to your breath, to your body, to your life. And that return is no small act. That return is liberation. So where do you go from here? You continue. You do not wait for a perfect day or a sudden awakening. You apply these rules daily. You treat them not as concepts, but as disciplines, because detachment is not a destination. It is a way of walking, a way of loving, a way of breathing. When the thoughts return, you return to these principles. When the ache rises, you meet it, not with panic, but with poise. When you are tempted to reach out to someone who has left, you pause and ask, "Does this serve my soul or just my fear?" You are not denying your humanity. The Stoics never did. They felt loss, they mourned, they cried, but they never surrendered their minds. They never gave away their reason in the name of love, and neither should you. This is Diary Stoic. And here we do not run from the fire. We walk into it, not to be consumed, but to be refined. You now carry something most never discover, a compass, a set of rules, etched not in stone but in awareness. Use them, read them again, practice them when it's hardest, share them with others who suffer quietly, be the example you once needed. And if you take only one truth from this entire journey, let it be this. Peace is not found in holding on. It is found in holding wisely and knowing when to let go. So now, let go. Not of love, but of illusion. Not of memory, but of dependency. Not of them, but of the belief that you needed them to be whole. Because you are not missing a piece, you are becoming a fortress, one breath at a time.